zombies, or alien reptiles.
I'm in!
Then it's off to Crayola Experience to make melted wax spin art and color our faces with their silly selfies. And we'll stay at Radisson Blue Mall of America, conveniently connected to the mall.
Yay! Swimming!
It's Summer of Play at Mall of America. Visit mallofamerica.com for details.
Need some extra cash? Want another reason to hang out at gun shops, bait shops, and other sporting goods stores? Then Northwest Iowa Outdoors has an opportunity for you. We are currently seeking ad salesmen for the region's number one entertainment multimedia outlet. Ads will appear on the internet at northwestiowaoutdoors.com, in a quarterly print publication placed in over 80 locations around the four-state region, and during the highly popular Outdoors with John radio show. Pay us based on a straight commission. Contact Drew at 712-898-8987 today if you're interested in joining the Northwest Iowa Outdoors team.
Survival of the fittest. And besides, it's fun.
Outdoors with John is on the air. This is the Hunting, Camping, and Fishing Show, presented by Northwest Iowa Outdoors, the region's number one outdoor entertainment multimedia outlet. Live from the KSCJ studios in Sioux City, the phone lines are wide open. Call 239-2101 right now with your questions or comments.
Good morning, everybody. The show is brought to us by the City of Kingsley, Small Town Sportsman in Kingsley, Iowa, Dirt Road Design and Screen Printing in Kingsley, The Shooting Shop in Anthon, Iowa, the Plymouth County Conservation Board, Skyline Lodge in Perrault Falls, Ontario, Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors in Milford, Iowa, Stan's Bait Shop in Milford, and Midwestern Land and Auction in Mapleton, Iowa. Really not a lot of stuff going on. Kingsley's got their annual August Fest going on today. They had a car show and a barbecue cook-off last night to kick off the festivities, and that was a pretty good deal. They had a pie contest also. Cowboy Bob was there, so pretty good deal. But today, they've got craft fair running all day today, running from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And in the Kingsley Library this morning, they're going to have crafts for kids. There's going to be horseshoes and badminton in the back of JoJo's coffee shop. And Color Run's going to start at 9 a.m. And it's about 2 miles through the streets of Kingsley. And every so often, some of the sponsors will throw a colored dye on you. And I guess it's pretty good. I don't know. It's the new thing, I guess, to have people throw junk at you while you're running. But anyway, there's goggles available, and they also got to sign a waiver to make sure that, if you get crap in your eye, you're not going to sue somebody, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, they did that last year, too, and they had a huge turnout for it. It's kind of a fun deal for the kids, but they say it's about 2 miles is all, and it's all on paved streets. That's going to start at 9 a.m. Let's see. Oh, they're going to have bouncy houses there. This morning, the fire department's going to have water fights in the afternoon, and they're going to have a fun ride this afternoon with golf carts and lawnmowers. The parade is going to start at 3 p.m. If you want to get an entry in the parade, be at the Kingsley Specialty Care, which is the nursing home there on the west side of Kingsley, at 2 p.m. for the lineup. So, and tonight, to cap off all the festivities, and there's a lot of other stuff going on. There's just too much here for me to read. But anyway, tonight from 8 p.m. to midnight, the street dance is going to be music by Four on the Floor. And have you ever heard of Four on the Floor, Scott?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what kind of stuff they play. This is the first time that they've been in Kingsley, I believe. But anyway, the street dances are always a lot of fun.
Kind of sounds like a Beach Boyish type of group.
I would assume.
Yeah.
I would assume that's it.
Hey, one other thing going on this weekend, the B-29 bombers down at the airport, the Air Museum.
Awesome.
Yeah, cool.
You can go down and take a look at that.
Yeah.
Next Saturday in Pearson, Iowa, at the Pearson, Iowa Golf Course, they're going to have their second annual Pearson Golf Stock Music Festival. And it'll run from 4 to 8 p.m. It's a free event. They're going to have food available. You just sit around and listen to the music. Bring your own lawn chair. They're going to have a raffle for a 17 HMR Henry Golden Boy rifle. And the second place drawing on that raffle will be a custom putter Cerakoted by Shireworks of Kingsley. And they do the, If anybody's familiar with that Cerakoting on firearms, it's a baked-on finish. You can put, like, your business logo on your firearm or whatever. But anyway, Sam's going to do that to a putter for the second-place winner. Well, let's see. Fishing report, really not a lot going on. The catfishing's pretty good. The dam up at Lynn Grove on the Little Sioux River, the river actually diverted out and around the dam and has kind of ruined that spot a little bit. The DNR has it posted where you're not supposed to go in there and fish and all this stuff, but people are anyway. And they're picking up some catfish and some pike there and a few walleyes. But the DNR, what I understood was Mid-American Energy was trying to replace a gas line that went under the river, and they had trenched through over by the dike, by the dam, and they couldn't get through, so they ended up going down the river further. But anyway, where they'd made that cut, trying to plow in this gas line, the river got into that, washed it out, and then washed out, and the river's actually going out and around the Lowhead Dam there now, and it kind of jacked up the pool above the dam and the pool below it. So, and I don't know if anybody up there in the Lynn Grove area has any more information on that. Boy, we'd love to hear from you. Oh, let's see. Well, I suppose we'll take a break early, Scott, because we're going to have Chad with Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors with us today. And let's see. We should probably throw out our trivia question. Is that going to make it too busy for you to get Chad on and answer the trivia? Well, anyway, if the phone rings and rings and rings, just stay on the line. He'll eventually get to you. So anyway, what we're looking for is true or false that horseshoe crab blood can be worth up to $60,000 a gallon. We want to know if that's true or false. And the number is 239-2101.
And we'll be right back, 1360-949 KSCJ.
To celebrate Taco John's 50th anniversary, our famous Sierra Chicken Sandwich is back. With grilled chicken and original Sierra sauce wrapped in a warm flatbread, the Sierra Chicken Sandwich is better than ever. Plus, we're giving you a chance to win $50,000 free food and other great prizes with any medium or large drink purchase. 1 in 3 cups is a winner. Enter the code on the cup to see if you've won $50,000 free food or other great prizes. The more you play, the more you win. Ole the day at Taco John's.
This is Jesse, your local Premier Dish retailer. Missing some of your favorite channels with your current TV provider? Football season is here very soon. The best part with shopping local is we can have you installed in less than 72 hours, and we do installations on the weekends to work around your schedule. We have helped hundreds of customers get those channels back over the last month, giving them better technology, a 2-year price guarantee, and saving customers hundreds of dollars. Dish packages are the same if you call an 800 number or sign up with a door knocker who is here today and gone tomorrow. We appreciate you shopping local. If you received a pre-approved Dish card offer in the mail or any other Dish offer, we can redeem it fast and installation in less than 72 hours. Call us today at 712-293-DISH. Check us out online at ilovedish.com or visit our store at 1711 Hamilton Boulevard. Thanks again for shopping local and supporting our local business. Call 293-DISH.
Requires credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Call for details.
Simplify your life by opening a My Social Security account, allowing you immediate access to your personal Social Security information. During your working years, you can use it to view your Social Security statement, to check your earnings record and see estimates of the future retirement benefits you and your family may receive. If you receive benefits, you can get a benefit verification, check your benefit and payment information, change your address and phone number, and even change your direct deposit information. Open a My Social Security account today at socialsecurity.gov/myaccount.
And we're back. Did we get a winner for our trivia there, Scott? I think.
Yeah, I got my earphones all knotted up somehow.
Oh, well, there you go.
We did get a winner. Andy Gibb of Sioux City correctly guessed true.
Yeah. They use it in the medical industry. In the 1960s, scientists discovered that a small amount of horseshoe crab blood can detect even the smallest amount of harmful bacteria. I guess the blood will turn yellow. It starts out as blue, and then if there's bacteria around, it'll turn yellow. And they've been using it ever since. They catch the crab, and they'll bleed it out. Don't take all of its blood, but they'll take the donation from the crab and then drop it back into the ocean.
Or drop it on my plate.
Yeah, Yeah, I don't know if these are the ones that you eat, the horseshoe crabs, or them ones that they use for bait.
I've had them before. They're pretty tasty.
Are they?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. And they refer to its blood as blue gold because it is a bluish colored blood, and it is reportedly worth up to $60,000 a gallon.
Hmm.
And I don't know how many crabs you got to bleed out to get a gallon.
I got to think a lot.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was bleeding out an ox, I mean, that would be pretty easy. But I can't imagine there's a lot of blood in a crab. But
yeah,
you know.
I wouldn't think so.
But anyway, yeah, the answer to that was true. And, in the prize packet today was the Second Amendment copper coin and a piece of wild boar barbecued meat stick.
Have you tried it?
Not that one.
Ah, okay. Well, it's got to be good. They all are.
They have been so far, yeah. Other than the Chipotle ones and the real hot ones, but I didn't care for them, but you did. So.
Yeah, they were good.
Anyway, we got Chad with Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Chad.
Morning, guys. Hearing you talk about that value in the gallon of crab blood makes me think I need to get into that line of work.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any horseshoe crabs up there at Okoboji, so we'll have to make a trip to the East Coast, I think.
Yeah, well, we need to do that.
We can get that done.
Morning, guys.
Yeah, you bring the boat and the gas, and I'll volunteer to help stick the crab. I'm not sure what you got to do. I imagine you got to suck it out with a syringe to keep it sterile. I don't know.
pretty interesting process there.
I would assume, yeah, and I'm sure the crabs. I don't know. Crabs are probably okay with it. Probably never complain. Anyway, we're gonna talk to you today, Chad, about basically your guide service up there. You started it in, what was it, about 2012, I think, somewhere in there?
Yep. My wife and I started it in 2012 up here in the Iowa Great Lakes. As everybody knows, that's kind of one of the areas of Iowa that we do a lot of fishing in, if you're a native Iowan. So, business has been good, and each year it seems to get better and better.
Well, and actually, that lakes region up there, West, East, and Spirit, and the other small lakes that are tied to it, actually draws quite a few fishermen from South Dakota and Minnesota, too.
Yep, it does. In fact, I used to live in Minnesota, and when I came back down to Iowa, I was, I'll have to say, really impressed with the quality of the fishery here. It's just as good as some of those adjacent states.
Yeah, and you also, on your trips there, you also will hit the surrounding prairie lakes, too, if that's where the bite's at?
Yeah. I mean, like one I'll mention here is Silver Lake over by Lake Park. That's a fantastic walleye fishery, and at certain times of the year that lake fires up, and it can be some really fast action over there. There's some good perch in that lake, and, unfortunately, there's yellows in that lake now, yellow bass, but I've also caught white bass over there as well. So it's kind of a mixed bag of fishery, but super fun to go over there and fish. So it's kind of a different opportunity for customers when we go out.
I tell you, those yellow bass have been showing up everywhere. I mean, it's kind of getting epidemic. I know like on West and East Okoboji, you can't find a white bass anymore, I guess. A few years ago, there's some disease killed them out.
Yep, that's right. Very, very few white bass, are caught up here anymore. But, we just had a recent state record that came out of East Okoboji, which was kind of interesting. But I've caught a couple over at Lake Park here at Silver Lake, but no big numbers. But they're still in the lakes, just not in numbers. But yellow bass definitely are prolific up here. But they also are good for business because customers get lots of hook sets, and they're great fish for kids. And we're lucky that they're good eating because I think if they weren't good eating, we would have a lot less people fishing them.
Yeah, I've eaten them before, and I had no problem with them. Other people kind of like to refer to them as kind of a trash fish or a junk fish, but I don't know. Any fish that's good eating is okay with me.
Yes, same with me. Grilled, baked, fried, they're all good.
The only problem is they don't get real big.
That's correct, but I will say, we've been getting some really big ones over on West Okoboji. I had some customers out the other day, and I kind of struggled to find what I'd call a cooperative school of bigger bluegills, and went and checked a spot I hadn't fished yet this season, and we got into some big yellows, up to 12 inches. So that was a lot of fun over some deeper water, and there's some bigger ones out there. So,
well, that's one thing that's kind of amazing about those lakes up there. Spirit Lake throw that into mix with east and west, but most of the time I go up there to catch something, I don't catch anything. But
on Spirit can be a tough lake.
But you see, you guys, I mean, you go out there and you always seems like you're coming back in with something. I mean, as far as actually knowing a lake, these are pretty important because most of your structure is below the surface. You don't have any islands or anything like that really to go by.
Yeah. I'll speak on Spirit real quick. I mean, you know, that's just a big basin lake. It reminds me of Mille Lacs Lake. I fished that, you know, a lot when I lived in Minnesota, and it's just a big basin lake with a little bit of rock, along the shoreline spots and a couple of points, and the rest is just a basin. And then, you know, we all know West Okoboji's, you know, got an average depth of 40 feet and pretty deep lake, but, you know, you break that one down and just fish the individual bays, and then you get over to East Okoboji, and it's kind of a mix of Spirit and West. You know, there's not real deep water over there, but, you know, it's got some basin attributes to it and some points, and so you just kind of break those down. But don't be fooled. Guides strike out, too, sometimes.
Well, they do, because they offer fishing. They don't offer catching.
That's right, John. That's right.
And it seems like you guys have to deal with, I don't know, what little bit of guiding I did years ago up on Cabotogama Lake, it seemed like we had three different types of people that would hire a guide. The one that was all worried about how damn big the fish was going to be, he had to catch that magnum fish, you know, I'm going to break the state record or else he's pissed. And you had the guys that were playing the number game. It's like, geez, I got to have a limit. And then the ones I liked were the guys that were just out there for some fun.
Yeah, you know, speaking of fun, I mean, I'll say, like, our customer base, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, we go out and we catch fish and people keep fish, but one of the things I'm seeing, you know, just within our customer base, and it seems to grow each year, is that there's more and more people that are just out to do catch and release. You know, they'll keep a few fish for a meal, and, you know, part of our guide service, you know, I don't tell people you can or can't keep fish. Everybody's allowed to keep, you know, what they want within the laws and regulations for daily limits and possession. But, you know, we do a lot on conservation with our folks, especially with big panfish and the importance of letting those fish go to maintain a quality fishery for the future. So, you know, I get a mixed bag of what you're talking about with different folks, but we try and accommodate them. And above all, you know, fun is what we're after in the boat, is to get out and have a good time.
Yeah, and you're talking about that catch and release. I mean, when I was a kid, that was just unheard of. I mean, if you caught a fish, that thing went home with you. You were either going to use it for fish bait later or you're going to eat it. But you never threw anything back in the water. But I tell you, it really has caught on, and it really has improved our fisheries throughout the state.
It has. I mean, in general, I mean, you know, we all are probably have what I call a little bit of started out cutting our teeth on bullheads and kept a lot of fish. But no, you're seeing more and more of that where folks are in tune with the conservation of our fisheries.
Yeah, and it has made a big difference. Another thing that's made a difference, too, is slot limits on walleyes.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent of the slots up here just because I like to go out and boat a lot of walleyes that are larger fish. I mean, you know, a lot of us love to eat walleye, but, you know, I also like to go out and see flags go down on planer boards pulling crankbaits and catch, you know, double digits for slot fish or even over the slot. You know, the slot on all the lakes up here has been really good for our walleye fishery, but also statewide because of the importance of that rearing stock that we've got up here in the lakes.
Absolutely. And you're talking about the planer boards there. I mean, that's a tactic that, you know, a lot of people use, you know, the Great Lakes, you know, Michigan, Superior and that, on the salmon fishing. But you use those on Okoboji?
Oh, without a doubt. In fact, I know my uncle is listening in this morning. And let's just say that there's days up there where it turns into a chaotic fire drill when the bites really good, and you have trouble managing more than four rods if you've got that third line option that Iowa offers. But definitely a great way to target walleyes on Big Spirit Lake.
Yeah, I'm not sure why Iowa did that. I mean, they must be selling those licenses, that third line. But my theory was, if the fish aren't biting, two lines not having anything bite are good enough. And if the fish are biting, all you can handle is one rod anyway. It just seems strange.
Yeah. You know, I hear what you're saying there. I mean, in the winter, I think a lot of folks are utilizing that third line license to run tip ups. You know, just to have that option to cover ice, especially when the weather's cold, where they're holed up in their shack and they can't be out and be mobile. So they'll run a couple of tip ups outside their shack and then be fishing inside the shack with winter hot.
Sure. Or you can always take the tactic my dad used to when the catfish were biting real good. He'd just run through downtown and pick up a bunch of kids and load them up and take them out there and just line the whole pond with rods. Gabe Morton come down. Dad'd be like, well, I don't know, start counting kids. I don't know how many I have. And, you know, the kids are all running around and, you know, he'd know how many rods there is, but trying to get an accurate count on the kids is pretty difficult. Like trying to count, flies on a dog turd.
Yeah, these days we need to do more of it and get those kids off the Xbox and out there watching what I call the Vex box, you know, on the ice watching their Vex bar and catching red lines. So
yeah, absolutely. And adults that have never been fishing too. You can help somebody out that's never been fishing before. Take the whole family, kids, mom, dad, and help them out.
Exactly. I mean, the great part about fishing is, you know, outside of the cost of a license, you know, it's fairly inexpensive to do. Hook sets don't really cost you a whole lot, and you get the whole family out there and have a good time.
Now, do you have gear available for people who haven't fished, or like if you wanted?
We take folks of any skill level, you know, and I'll be honest. I mean, the day I admit that I know everything as a guide, I failed because I still continue to learn things about our fishery up here, new tactics, but more importantly, I learn things from customers sometimes too. You know, so that's kind of the neat part about taking folks of all angling levels, you know, all skill levels.
Yeah. You provide the boat and everything on all the bait and everything needed, right?
We provide everything. All you need to do is show up at the dock where we'll pick you up, you know, or at your cabin dock if you're staying up here, and hop in and you just bring clothing that's appropriate for the weather, and we supply rods and the tackle, bait, gas, everything else. You just need to come and be ready to have a good time.
And you got life jackets on the boat too, or is that something that they need to bring?
We have all the PFDs that are required for each individual on the boat. And you know, with kids, a lot of times I tell folks, you know, I have them on board, but with young kids, sometimes they're more comfortable in their own PFD. So I'll tell folks to bring their own for their kids, just because if they haven't spent a lot of time on a boat before, it just makes that experience a little bit easier for them.
Well, absolutely. And it's important that those things fit you properly too. And it's kind of tough to do on a kid, to just off the rack one.
Yeah, it is.
You know, here, throw this on, Johnny, and hope for the best.
But, well, I'll tell you, we run a pretty nice boat, and I've got a lot of storage in it, but the storage in it is full, and I keep telling my wife that we need a bigger one, and she looks at me and kind of with a grim face and says, absolutely not.
Well, we're kind of running out of time here, Chad.
Right on.
How do they get a hold of you?
They can just give us a call at 712-330-9678, or they can go through our webpage, igloutdoors.com. And we have got a contact page there, or you can follow us on our Facebook page, Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors.
Yeah, and if anybody missed that information, you can go to the Northwest Iowa Outdoors website, and we've got a link to your website there, plus all the information. And just real quick, about 30 seconds, what are they catching up there now?
Right now, just real quick, West Okoboji, it's been a mix of big bluegills and yellow bass on the deeper breaks, running spoons and live bait. Largemouth on the deep weed lines and points, especially where you can find those deep weeds. Big spirit, we're starting to see the perch go. Should be really good this fall. Walleyes are going to pick up at the end of the month up there, and it should be a fantastic fall there. But I'd also say don't forget about East Okoboji if you're looking to boat a big walleye in the Iowa Great Lakes, because it kicks out some very big fish every fall.
Awesome. Just give Chad a call up there at 330-9678 at Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors, and he'll help you out. Hey, can we get you back on here in a couple weeks, and we'll talk some more. Maybe we'll talk about ice fishing.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about how nice Steve Weissman's pontoon is.
All right, well, till next week, folks, thanks for listening.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.